and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience The Good Life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. While visiting Mumbai, she found herself ministering in the red light district where over 40,000 prostitutes, some as young as 12 years old, lived and worked within a 16-block radius. There, she discovered that in the darkest places, God shines His light the brightest. Her name is Marlene Rice, and her personal passion in ministry is fulfilling her role as a board member for Jubilee Campaign, an international human and religious rights organization with offices in England and Washington, D.C. Jubilee Campaign's purpose is to speak out on behalf of those who do not have the power or strength to speak for themselves. She'll share about that and more heartfelt leadings of God's mighty work. We pause, as we typically do at the beginning of our show, to remind you that the reason we have the Good Life Radio program is to lead you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. Oh, dear friend, if you have never met Christ, if He is a name that you know, you have some figment in your mind of who He is, it may be right, it may be a little bit off, but you have a yearning, a prompting even, to find out more about Christ, you're listening to the right station, because, and this the right program, because we're here to remind you that Jesus loves you so much that He died on the cross for your sins and mine and my guest. And He shed His precious blood on that cross to wash our sins away. He was buried, and He rose again on the third day. And Jesus, the living Christ, today, this moment, is calling out to you, His arms outstretched, His hands reaching out to you. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're feeling, however difficult life may seem at this very moment, Jesus Christ is calling you. And if you're walking with the Lord, perhaps you need a boost of encouragement. And you will experience that, I believe, oh, ever so strongly today. An award-winning television and film producer, Marlene Rice has worked with national and international ministries such as Campus Crusade for Christ, Trinity Broadcasting Network, Open Doors International, Azusa Pacific University, Life Bible College, Jubilee Campaign, Luis Palau Evangelistic Association, Reinhard Bonnke, and Dr. D. James Kennedy of Coral Ridge Ministries. Having traveled extensively throughout China, Vietnam, Cuba, Eastern Europe, Siberia, and India, Marlene has produced and directed several film documentaries focusing on Christian persecution. As a result of numerous Bible smuggling trips, she's brought love, hope, encouragement, and Christian materials to believers living where faith costs the most. Marlene attended Fuller Theological Seminary and Trinity International University. She graduated summa cum laude and holds a master's in religion. She's a mother of 4 children and 9 grandchildren. She resides on the island, the beautiful island of Maui, with her husband Frank Rice. Marlene is the development director for the Maui Food Bank. She serves as board chair for Book Trust Hawaii and produces Heart to Heart with Marlene Rice, a 1-minute devotional which airs Monday through Friday on KPOA 93.5. Marlene, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much, Danny. And I have to tell you, I listen to you every opportunity that I get. And when I was over at the prayer breakfast and I was introduced to you, I was ecstatic. I felt like I'm meeting a rock star.
Well, I am very, very blessed, and it is an honor to have you here with me today to share your story of the mighty things that Christ has done in your life.
Thank you.
Marlene, where did you grow up?
I was born in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, and moved to California when I was 7. So I grew up in Southern California.
You know, when you say Winnipeg, Manitoba, I remember many times watching the Billy Graham Crusade, and he would always give his Minneapolis, Minnesota address, and then they would say, you know, write Billy Graham. That's all the address you need in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Exactly.
So what was it like growing up there?
In Winnipeg?
Yes.
It was really cold. It was very cold. 40 below was not uncommon in the winter, and I had to walk to kindergarten in the snow. I mean, can you believe that? Your parents,
it's
my
parents.
It's hard
to believe in Hawaii.
Probably not your parents, but my parents would say, oh, why are you complaining? I had to ride a horse 10 miles to school. Well, when you're a kindergartner and you're walking 3 blocks in 40 below weather with snow up to your waist, if you fall off the curb, it's cold. But it was wonderful.
What do you remember? Besides walking to school, you know, minus 40, what do you remember when you look back at some of those enchanted moments growing up there in Canada?
Well, the most enchanting moments were we had a cottage at Lake Winnipeg, and all of my cousins, all of our families, we would all go there and we would stay the whole summer. And my dad would come on the weekends on the train and we would all go to the train station to meet him. And, you know, it was a time where even if you were in kindergarten, you could walk from the cottage to the lake and you never had to worry about anything. And it was probably one of the happiest moments of my life.
Who influenced you most in your earlier years?
I had no Christian influence at all growing up. But my dad, I always like to say he came to the Lord very late in life, in his 90s. But my dad behaved probably more Christian than a lot of Christians that we all might know. Mm-hmm. I mean, he lived by the principles of God, even though he didn't really have a knowledge and an understanding of who Jesus was. He was kind. He was generous. He was a good provider. And he was always there for everybody.
How did you become a Christian?
Well, in the 60s, I went to high school. I lived in Yorba Linda in Orange County, went to Troy High in Fullerton. And I was one of those people, Danny, that I never really quite fit in. I didn't fit in with the cheerleaders. I didn't fit in with the sports people. I had a horse, and equestrian activities were not part of the high school. I never really fit in with the cheerleaders or the song leaders. And every teenager has got to fit in somewhere. And so I ended up with a group of other misfits like myself and started taking drugs, starting selling pot as a junior in high school, left home when I was 18 years old. The minute I turned 18, I was still, it was the middle of my high school year. And I just didn't want to be controlled by my mom and dad. I was an only child. And so I left. I still continued high school. And I had a economics teacher, because I missed a lot of school, of course, when you're living on your own. Mm-hmm. And I was also working. My claim to fame is I was the first female employee of Jack in the Box that they allowed to work till 8 o'clock at night. Because they didn't let women or girls work in fast food restaurants after dark back then. And so, to make a long story short, I just got more and more involved in Eastern religion and philosophy and the drug world. And of course, the drug world back then was much different than it is today. And a lot of people took drugs for spiritual reasons, or, you know, what we perceive to be spiritual reasons. I ended up moving to a hippie commune with all my friends. And while living at the hippie commune, a lot of my friends really got involved with certain Eastern philosophies that I just couldn't relate to as a human being. I mean, I just couldn't look at a picture of a god that had a man's body with an elephant head. I had a god consciousness, but I knew that God did not look like that. So even as a hippie, I didn't fit in. It was like, was there anywhere that I was going to fit in? But I continued to live there. And then a friend of mine who we hadn't seen in about a year, and he was best known for smuggling large quantities of marijuana from Mexico up to Canada. And he would always stop off at our commune. And he showed up at my door. I was 21 at the time. And when I opened the door and saw him there, he had short hair. He had no beard. He was dressed normal, not like a hippie. And I said, James, what happened to you? Have you been in jail? Where have you been? Because that was an era where if you went to jail as a hippie, they cut your hair and you couldn't have a beard or a mustache. And he looked at me and he said, no, Marlene, I've been singing in the choir at Melodyland Christian Center. Mm-hmm. And he shared Christ with me that night. And I knew what he was saying was true. And Danny, what was interesting for me was I never really got the sin factor in the beginning of my Christian walk, because he didn't share that with me. What he shared was that I was not going to heaven because I had not accepted Christ as my Savior. That I got. I knew I was not going to heaven. I knew that. And he presented to me the way to be able to do it. And the next day, there was one Christian in the area that I knew, a young woman, and I went over to her house and I just said, could I go to church with you? And it was a four-square church. And I went to church that morning. I scrambled through my closet to see if I could find any clothes that looked normal, because I only had hippie apparel. And went to church that morning. And the minister that was preaching said, if you were to die tonight, do you know for sure that you would spend eternity with God? If you don't, raise your hand. Well, I never heard of an altar call, and I probably would not have raised my hand had I known what was coming next. So I just raised my hand because I didn't know. I didn't think I was going to heaven. He gave the altar call, and I went forward, accepted Christ, and my life changed instantaneously. I went home. I burned every New Age book I had, every Eastern philosophy book I had. I even burned secular record albums and put it all in a big bonfire and just move forward.
A life-changing moment.
Very.
Indeed. In church with a pastor. Very direct. And you responded. I want to find out when we come back from our break about how you felt, Marlene. You were emotional beings. God made us that way. We make decisions, and when you mention you never fit in, maybe some way when we come back you could sort of bridge a gap for us, feeling growing up all those years, feeling like you never fit in, even living in the hippie culture, feeling a little bit out or out of place. The reason I say that is, somebody today, as they hear you, they also feel like they don't fit in. It could be someone who feels they don't fit in just in life. They don't know the Lord. The Lord did something in you. I'd like for you to share that when we come back. More from Marlene Rice. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Sheila Walsh says of her, she says, "One of the greatest joys of my life is my friendship with Marlene Rice. She has a passionate heart for God and his people, a burning desire to listen to what God is saying and sharing his heart with others. I'm excited." She's excited. Sheila Walls is excited for anyone who has a chance to hear Marlene, and we have her in studio with us today. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Marlene Rice is in studio. Before our break, she was talking about how she came to Christ. She got involved with drugs in high school and never felt like she could fit in. And if you're tuning in right now, you definitely want to get the program in its entirety. Get that first segment. You can go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, get the program for free as a free podcast. And to find out more about Marlene Rice, Marlene at MauiFoodBank.org. Marlene at MauiFoodBank.org. Marlene, how did it feel for you to someone who never felt like they really fit in? How did it feel on that night when you opened your heart to Jesus Christ?
Okay, this is really going to surprise you. And no one's ever asked me that before. I felt nothing. Mm. And that's why I think my testimony is important, because maybe somebody right now is listening and they've accepted Christ into their life and they were expecting to experience something very emotional. I felt nothing emotionally or physically, but I knew intellectually that what I'd done was right. And I had no doubt in my mind. And so for me, it was the ultimate mental, intellectual transformation. And it happened that quick. It's like I step from darkness into light. And you don't have to feel anything to go from darkness into light. Truth is not about emotion, even though some people really experience a lot of emotion. I just knew I was in darkness and now I was in light. And that's how I started living my life. I lived like I was walking in the light. And you know, there's something that us being humans created in the image of God that instinctively our behavior will begin to change. And even for those that their behavior doesn't change right away, they know. Like we have four children, and one of our sons became a hardcore drug addict, started doing drugs at age 13. And my husband was a youth pastor. And if you want to be humbled out, be a youth pastor with an enormously successful youth group, and the Newport Beach Police Department call you because they've just picked up your son. And in churches, as we all know, people don't usually keep silent about things. It's like, whoa, did you hear what happened to Daniel Rice? And one of the things as Daniel progressed into adulthood that he said, and he was in eight rehabs. So this was a child that was born and raised with Christ being the focal point in the home. And we weren't legalistic parents that made him not go to surf contests on Sunday because it was church. We tried to really bring about a balance. But one of the things that I will never forget that he told me when he finally came through, and it wasn't until he was 40, if you can believe that, until he was 40, and he said, he took me out for coffee, and he said, "Mom, I want to tell you something. I always knew Jesus was the only way, and I always knew what I was doing was wrong." And so for me, I really believe that when someone comes to Christ, like I said, you're instinctually going to change your life. And even if you don't, when you do wrong, you know. Because I would have never known that Daniel knew what he was doing was wrong, because why would he keep doing it? So for me, coming to Christ was, it was just a complete revolution. And intellectually and mentally, I understood. And, you know, that's just kind of the way I'm wired. Like, my two daughters and my two daughter-in-laws pulled me aside one day, and they said, "Mom, we got to talk to you." And I said, what about? And I thought I was a fabulous mom. And they go, "We really love you, but you give terrible hugs. They're fake hugs." And I went, "What are you talking about? How can a mother give a fake hug?" And the one that I knew only says nice things about me, Jessica, I knew she was going to come to my rescue. And she looked at me, she said, "It's true. They're fake." And so I'm not really an emotional person. So I said, "Okay, I'm going to try really hard. I've been trying now for 5 years, and now they think there is a little bit of an improvement in my hugging.
A little bit more warmth is coming out, huh?"
Yeah, and I think I'm a really great hugger, but obviously. And so I'm not that emotional of a person. I'm probably a little more in my head. But there are people out there listening that they're in their head too, and maybe they've gone forward to an altar call, or someone shared Christ. They didn't really feel anything. You don't need to feel anything. All you need is to step into the light, step into the truth.
I appreciate that very much. That just a clear, clean cut, honest response. Because sometimes we look at sensational moments that validate our faith, and you speak of, hey, as one who didn't have that, but it didn't invalidate your faith in Christ. In fact, as you said, we can't really base our faith on feelings, can
we? Exactly.
Sometimes we just have to trust, and all the feelings get sucked out from us, and we're void of those feelings, and we need to keep walking, moving forward by faith. Marlene, you mentioned about your son, your husband being a youth pastor, and the humbling process, where you might, maybe it's more than humbling when you go through a time like that. But I think when you share that, someone who listens, who's a parent, who's earnestly trying to walk with the Lord, and they try their best to raise the child up, and we're not perfect parents. There's no such thing, but we try our best. But we can't control the decisions that our children make. I feel like there's a word of hope and comfort that you might be able to share with a parent whose child is estranged in their walk with the Lord, and they've made some difficult or wrong choices. What would you say to that mother or that father?
Well, I would say, first of all, do not lose hope, because what you don't see is going on behind the scenes. And if I could just share a short story of something that happened to us. Daniel was at an extremely, extremely low point. We had to send him to Teen Challenge in Sundance, Wyoming. He had an unbelievable experience with God at Teen Challenge, and while he was there, he climbed a 30-foot power pole, and all the kids were down below. He was 15, and kids don't really understand about electricity, and they don't understand how it arcs and what can happen. And so as he got to the top of the pole, he waved his hands, and the electricity arced. It went through this hand, out his hip, and he fell 10 feet and landed on a platform that wide. And we received the phone call.
About a foot wide.
About a foot wide. And another kid who was afraid of heights climbed the 20 feet and grabbed him to hold him to keep him from falling. He was medevaced to Salt Lake City. And my husband and I were on a Bible smuggling trip to Cuba in Toronto when we got the call. And Frank left and immediately flew to Salt Lake City. And then he was going to fly back to catch up with the rest of the team. And when he walked in and saw Daniel there, the doctor came in and said, I want you to know that more electricity went through your son than it takes to kill a man in the electric chair. And while Daniel was up there with his hands arced, being electrocuted, Christ appeared to him and he said, Jesus, I don't want to die. And that's when the electricity broke and he fell to his knees and then onto the platform. Now, you would think that when anybody experiences something that dramatic, that their life would be changed. It wasn't. A week and a half later, he ran away. And he ran away from Teen Challenge, and he came back to Southern California. And so as a parent, I can remember driving myself to work, and I had to pull over to the side of the road. And probably, I don't know if dads ever have this kind of a crying experience, but I was definitely emotional at this point. And because I thought we were going to lose our son. And we'd poured everything into this kid. When you have a kid with that kind of a problem, one of the problems is sometimes you don't take care of the other children because all the energy is going into the one with the issue. And we were pouring everything into Daniel. I started crying. I was crying so hard, Danny, that the tears were just literally falling out of my eyes. And I pulled over and I cried out to God and I just said, I can't do this. I cannot do this anymore. I can't do it. And the Lord spoke to me in as close to an audible voice that I've ever heard. And he said, Marlene, as you are faithful to minister to other people's children, because we were in a youth ministry, I will be faithful to send people to minister to your son. Now, not long after that, and I felt a lot of hope at that point, but not long after that experience, we got a phone call from Daniel. And he was hysterical, and he was calling from a phone booth in Costa Mesa, California, about 15 miles from where we lived in Laguna Beach. And he just said, Mom, I'm going to kill myself. I have a gun. I am so confused. I don't know what to do. I can't keep living like this. 16 years old. And we kept him on the phone. My husband kept talking to him, and I called the Costa Mesa Police Department, and I said, my son is right here. He's at a phone booth. He's got a gun. He's going to kill himself. Is there any way that you can go over? And the police officer said to me, Mrs. Rice, we don't do that. We can't go over there and do that. And I said to him, if you had a son, I can tell you right now, and you called me as one human being to another, I would go to your son. And he said, okay, I'm going to go. And I said, what's your name? His name was Officer Fate. And Officer Fate went over there. He talked Daniel down. He took the gun. He got on the phone, talked to us, took Daniel to a rehab. And so this was from the time that he was 13 years old until he was 40. We were going through these kinds of things. Now, there's been a movie made of his life. He's involved in a prison ministry. He's very actively involved in his church. I just want to encourage any listener, whether you're a mom or a dad, you do not know what God is doing behind the scenes. And as you are faithful, God will be faithful to minister to that child, whether that child is 15 or whether that child is 40.
Marlene, let's take a moment and pray.
Amen.
Can you pray for that dear mother, father, who's a grandparent who's just at the end of despair? Please pray.
Father in heaven, we just come before you. And Lord, we lift up on behalf of the people that are listening to this program, yes, their son, their daughter, their grandchild, their uncle, their auntie, their mom, their dad, their cousin, their friend, anybody who's struggling with addiction. And Lord, we pray that you would put hope in their heart, that you have not abandoned this person that they have been praying for. but that you have been working in their life. You have been working behind the scenes. And even though they can't see it, it doesn't matter because you can see it and that person sees it. There was never a doubt in Daniel's mind that you were real, that you were there. It just took him a little bit longer to be able to grasp it and accept it. So we pray, Father, that there would be a moving of your spirit on this island, in the lives of those that are struggling with addictions. In your name we pray.
Amen.
And you know, Danny, if I can just add to that, I was sharing at a woman's retreat once, and I told this story, and Daniel came, and he got up and he shared his personal experience, and he said something that I will never forget, and he encouraged the moms, the sisters, the aunties, the grandmas that were there, that you don't see the miracle, but you have to remember the miracle is not for you. The miracle is for the one you're praying for.
And I appreciate you praying and sharing that even. We're going to take a quick break right now, but when we come back, you're listening to a woman who's been through a lot in life, and she's articulate, she is sharp, and her heart is filled with compassion, as you can very well feel. When we come back, she'll share with us about some things that she has seen, witnessed, been a part of in India. And you don't just get called to be a part of an organization like the Maui Food Bank without having certain skills, but a certain heart. And of course, that heart of loving compassion. Loving compassion, the loving compassion of Christ. Do you know that Christ can release you from an addiction? He can set you free. She knows about it. That's Marlene Rice. Stay with us.
Desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waihua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waihua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Ever come to that place in your life where you hit a few bumps in the road, and maybe some of those bumps are so high or so wide, and the effect is such that you become no longer embarrassed about things that you would have been shamed to have even been associated with. You begin to speak more freely about things that have impacted your life because you've got less to hide anymore. Why? Because you've come to a point where you have exhausted your resources emotionally, financially, maybe in every way, and you've come to Christ, and Christ has restored you. He's accepted you and restored you to a place that you knew could never have been done on your own. And so you share about it, and God amazingly uses that to bring hope and help to others. Well, that's our guest today. Marlene Rice has been so gracious to open up, so transparent, to share about her life experience personally, and of course personally with her son, and how God has worked in and through her life and Daniel's life, her son. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. If you're tuning in right now, my friend, I want to strongly encourage you to get this podcast at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Listen to it. Share it with a friend. I think as you listen to it, the Lord will prompt you and maybe put someone's name on your heart. You want to send a link, or by Facebook or some other means of social media. Get this to them, because Marlene's story will really be a blessing to them. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can get it there. Marlene, you're a woman of compassion. You've been to India. What happened when you were there, and how did God use that to touch your heart?
Well, I've served on the board of Jubilee Campaign for a number of years, probably going on 15 years now. And Jubilee Campaign is a Christian ministry, but they're also human rights advocates. And our office in the UK, for example, has a lot of non-Christian people involved. And through Parliament, a lot of non-Christian musicians have been involved. The Beatles have been very involved with what Jubilee Campaign does. And part of Jubilee Campaign's ministry is we have 6 homes in Mumbai, and those homes are filled with girls that have been rescued out of human trafficking issues. Some of them, their mothers are prostitutes, and they followed suit because of that. And so going there, I had no idea what to expect. We've been financial supporters, and I've been a board member from afar. But I was shocked, both shocked and amazed, because one of the most interesting things I experienced is we went into the brothel area. We actually went in to 5 brothels where there were pictures of Jesus hanging on the wall, where Bible studies take place in these brothels. And one of the women that I met that was now working at Jubilee Campaign, I had a chance to talk to her. I didn't get what her backstory was, but she runs all the administration for this one part. And I asked Devaraj, who is the overseer of all of this, and he's with Bombay Teen Challenge. I said, what's Susie's deal? What's her story? And he said, Marlene, she had a brothel. She was a brothel owner with 7 girls, and she came to Christ. We had a Bible study in their brothel on a regular basis. And eventually, after a couple of years, Devaraj said, I said to her, Susie, when are you going to come out? When are you going to leave? And she said, I will not leave until every girl is ready to leave. I will not leave without them. Now, this is a concept none of us in America can understand. I mean, we were in one brothel, Danny, and I'm not exaggerating at all. There was a curtain hanging here, and there was a man having sex with a 13-year-old while we were praying with a girl with AIDS. And it's very limited what you can do. I mean, it's not like you can do anything. And when the man was done. He literally walked past the curtain when he saw what we were doing. He said, oh, excuse me, I'm sorry, I'll go out the back way. I mean, this is a lifestyle. This is a culture. And so I was pretty shocked. I didn't really know how do you deal with this. And so I just observed. And so as Devraj got back to Susie's story, one day all seven girls had come to Christ. And for Susie to leave and these girls to leave, she was giving up her home because that was her home. As much of a shack as it was probably maybe 10 by 15 feet. Susie and those seven girls walked out arm in arm. She lost all of her property. She lost all of her ownership. And they walked out basically trusting God that God was going to have a plan for them. And I brought you a picture of some of these girls. These girls are all now in college. The ones in the picture. And the one to your right here, your left, Lydia, her story was she was 19 years old when I took that picture. She's from Nepal. And how a lot of this trafficking happens is that a man and a woman came to her little village and told her parents, we want to take your daughter to Mumbai where she will work as a domestic and she will get an education. And Lydia was 12 years old. And we'll give you money. And we'll take her, and her life is going to be bettered. She told me her story herself. When she got to Mumbai, they threw her in a brothel, and she was gang raped by seven men. And she was there from 12 to 15 when she was rescued. She came to Christ. She went through high school, and now she's in university to become a teacher. And these girls... somebody once asked me, they must have so many psychological problems. There is probably some, but with God, there's nothing he can't do to the human mind. And these girls were so amazing. These girls in this picture, I wish that the listening audience could see. That's a home in Mumbai that is actually fully funded by one of the Beatles. He's fully funded that for... I think we're going on 12 years now, and nobody really knows about it that they do it, but he fully funds that. And those two little girls, I took that picture. They were about 13 and 14. Their moms are prostitutes. They were rescued out in that their moms brought them to the Jubilee Campaign home and said, would you take my daughters? Because otherwise they're going to go into the same lifestyle as me. And right there, they were praying, thanking God for us.
The pictures that I'm holding in my hand, the one picture that Marlene is talking about right now, these two young girls, about how old are they?
Those girls are probably about 13.
Okay, they're about 13 years old. They're dressed in the traditional Indian garb, as you may have seen on television. They're kneeling, kneeling and praying, and they're surrounded by children. It's like they're leading in a prayer meeting, yes. A prayer service, mm-hmm. of sorts, and there are others... You know, Indian style of dress, very colorful, and the kids are wearing colorful outfits, but they're all praying, and deep prayer. You could see the expressions on their faces. The other picture, the one that you were speaking of earlier about that girl, and all those these girls are now in college. These are the ones that went arm in arm, left
yes.
that home.
All but the one from Nepal, yes.
Okay, left, and now they're in college.
Mm-hmm.
And again, these girls are still very young. About how old would you say they are?
That picture is a few years old. So they were about 18 then.
Standing, smiling, there is, as you look, actually, if you didn't know the backstory of what Marlene shared, it probably wouldn't even occur to you what they have been through in their life.
Exactly.
The atrocities of abuse that they have been through that are really beyond... human expression, but because of the peace that you see, the peace, a certain level of joy that exudes on their faces, and then here they are really restored in the Lord in ways that only He can.
Mm-hmm.
So, Marlene, this ministry is having a great impact. You're making a difference. The ministry is making a difference in the lives of these girls. And yet there's so much more that could be done, that needs to be done.
Well, there's so much more that can be done throughout the world. Mm-hmm. Right prior to moving to Maui, I was working for a relief organization, and we were in Haiti. And I have to say that when I left Haiti, I was ashamed to even call myself a human being, because I could not believe that the entire world could see what was going on in Haiti, what these people were enduring, and that we haven't been able to do more. And it really propelled me and my husband in our life to do what we can do. And, you know, there's a scripture, and if I could just share it, and it's common to all of us, but people may not know the full meaning of this. And it's when Jesus is saying, and he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And what that means in the Greek is that we are always to do what is in the best interest of those people that we are sharing airspace with. Mm-hmm. We need to, and so when things come across our path, we need to ask ourselves, okay, I'm sitting next to this person. Does she need a hug? Does she need $100? Does she need a meal? Does she need a ride someplace? Does she need just letters to be written on their behalf? What can we do? Because loving our neighbor as ourselves, and for us, I was these girls' neighbors. And I'm not going to go into what I felt that I could do, and it was very small what I could do, but it was still something that I could do. And all I can say is that there's so many needs, and if people aren't involved with helping meet a need, they're missing out what this scripture really means.
And you're doing it. And by doing it, you set an example for all of us, practically, to do something. And there's something, well, that scripture and your explanation, there is something that we can do. We can always do something. And thank you for bringing to our attention a part of the world. We live such insulated lives.
We really do.
And we need to be exposed to what's really going on around us, certainly to be more grateful, and certainly to be more activated in our faith, in our call, in service for the Lord, and honoring Him and being a blessing to others. When we come back from our break, Marlene, we'll have a few minutes, you know, in our closing segment. You've been the development director of the Maui Food Bank. I'm amazed at how involved you are in so many things. And these aren't just, you know, I'm dabbling here, I'm dabbling there. You get very involved. I guess the Lord allows certain people to have a very broad capacity. And you certainly use that grace that God has given. And I want to hear more about the Maui Food Bank and some of the projects that you have going on when we come back. So, again, Marlene Rice is with us. You can find out more about her. Marlene at MauiFoodBank.org. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me. I lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Valarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and RG Maintenance LLC. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Marlene Rice is the development director of the Maui Food Bank. She's involved in leadership with the Maui Food Bank and in other ministries. She's an incredible woman with a large capacity to be involved in many significant projects simultaneously, and she's here to share with us about that. Marlene, Maui Food Bank, how did you get involved? What's going on with that? What are some new projects you have?
Well, just before I share, can I just share a quick thing to somebody who's listening?
Yes.
Last night at midnight, this is a word of encouragement. This is a word of encouragement for a woman who's listening right now. And, you know, whether you've been a Christian 2 years or 50 years, life is hard. Life is not easy for anybody. There's always challenges. It's like I always like to say, you never get it all. You never get everything. Perfect family, perfect kids, perfect husband, $1 million, perfect house on the beach. It's like God gives us blessings, but he doesn't give us so much that we forget who we need to rely on. And for this woman, it has to do with being a hero. And what the Lord wants you to know is that you are the truest of heroes. And as an ordinary person, you're discovering the strength of God inside you to overcome, to persevere, to endure, and to remain faithful in spite of the most dreadful circumstances and overwhelming obstacles in your life. Heroes are those people who, after their world has been shaken, they still remain standing. And you are still standing. You are a hero, not only in the eyes of your family and friends, but most importantly, you are a hero in the eyes of Jesus. So for that person that's listening right now, that woman, be encouraged. Be encouraged. You are a hero.
Much needed word to have been shared by you. Thank you for your timeliness and your promptness in sharing that.
Well, Danny, in closing, I've been the development director at the Maui Food Bank for 8 years, and kind of how I've just sort of done my life is whatever God opens up, I'll step in. And if I'm capable to do it, I'll do it. That's a word of encouragement to everybody that you might be called to do something you never even thought you could do before. So for 8 years, I've been there, and the only thing that I want to share is that we serve 10,000 people a month on Maui, and 8,000 pounds of food a day go out our door. And we've just launched a really exciting program, and that's the Aloha Backpack Buddies program, where we're now providing food for kids who on the weekends when they don't have access to the free and reduced lunch meal program. Many of these kids go home and they don't even get a meal. And so now we've got these backpacks, and kids go to the office, they get the backpack, it has 6 meals for them. They're able to take it home. And right now, for example, at one of our elementary schools, they have so many homeless children that they've had to install a shower and have changes of clothes there. And of the 10,000 people a month that we serve, Danny, 40% of those are youth and children. And so we're doing our best to just do what we can do to help alleviate hunger on Maui. And I had one little girl that I handed a backpack to the other day at one of our schools, and she opened it up, and there was a jar of peanut butter in there, and she came up to me, and she said, Auntie Marlene, we still have some peanut butter left from the last jar that I got. Would you like to take this and give it to somebody else who has a need? That was a fourth grader.
Wow.
So, you know, Maui has just been voted once again the number one island destination.
Yes.
And beyond our beautiful, beautiful scenery, behind all the palm trees, the gorgeous beaches, there's a huge population in need. And the majority of the people we serve are those that are the working poor. There are aunties, there are uncles, there are friends where in a family one person has lost a job and the other one, what they're making is not enough to keep them going. And Danny, one thing a lot of people don't know is that when you're a family and you have to pay rent and utilities, the first thing to go so that you can do that and have a roof over your head is your food budget.
A parting shot. We've got about 30 seconds. What would you say to someone in a position like that, and maybe speak to someone who might be able to help?
Trust God. And for the person that's in the position to be able to do something to help, do what Jesus said. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do what is in the best interest of the people who are in need.
Marlene, you have been a blessing today. I thank you for coming from Maui, to be here with us, to share in this way, heart to heart, as you have. A big mahalo to you.
Thank you for having me.
I hope, dear friend, as you have listened today to these heart-level, heartfelt sharing from Marlene Rice, that you've been blessed. You know, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, this is the perfect moment to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. We've got a special presentation for you there. And to stand with us with your financial support and make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Partners. John 8:12 says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest, Marlene Rice. Connect with her at marlene@mauifoodbank.org. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, our guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Amashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.